Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm really excited about our next guest because he and I have history together. We were both in Kansas City back more than 10 years ago now. He is the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, me as the morning show host at 610 Sports there. And I would arrive at his press conferences and ask him questions. And sometimes we would be able to spar in those press conferences. And once upon a time, I asked him a question and he said, well, what's your name, son? And I said, D.A. And he goes, what's your real name, son? And I said, well, it's Damon. And he goes, you see, that's a nice name. And he and I had some really good sparring moments. And I am glad to have him back on the show because I have not had him back on the show since. He is now, of course, the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, coming off a Las Vegas Bowl season last year where they were second in the Pac-12 South and finished with a 7-6 record. Herm Edwards is our guest. Herm, good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend. You've come a long way now. You're in New York City, boy. You're big. You're big time.
I don't know about that, but I will say this, that after we had some of those fun incidents, which I think both you and I had fun with,
sure.
I saw you outside of the Fog Allen Fieldhouse for a Kansas game. And my dad was with me, and I said, Dad, you want to go meet Herm Edwards? And he was like, of course. His eyes lit up. Oh, my goodness, I get to meet Herm Edwards. And I introduced him to you, and you couldn't have been nicer. And he was just all about meeting you, and I was so grateful. And you said a classic line. You said, I told him Damon was a nice name. And my dad just started dying laughing. So I'll never forget how well you treated him.
Well, I just think it doesn't cost a lot to be nice, does it? And I think if you do that, you open the doors of conversation. And I learned that from my parents, you know, and why wouldn't you do that? I mean, that's what life's about. You know, everything we've learned, we've actually learned from somebody else. And a lot of the things we've learned have been through conversations with people. So that's always got to keep those doors open.
Well, why weren't you nice to me when you threatened to kick my ass on the practice field one day when I was out covering the team and you said, D, I want to talk to you in the middle of this practice field, and then you scolded me.
Well, I can't even remember why. It was probably something that was done that was kind of a little bit on the side of, no, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, after practice. But I don't know. I can't remember anymore. But it was one of those deals where I think it was more of, you know, trying to get your attention probably. I can't remember what the incident was, to be quite honest, but hopefully you didn't take it serious.
No.
That's never the intention.
No, I know. And I really respected covering you because you were so transparent with your intent for coaching the team and the players. The relationship that you had with the players was on public display. You treated everybody, I thought, very fairly and very honestly. And I always wondered where you got that from. I know that you come from a military background household.
Yeah.
Was that from that or perhaps other coaches that you had learned from in the past?
Well, obviously from my dad being a master sergeant, but also from coaching. I had some great coaches coming up. My high school coach, Dan Albert, who I still visit with from time to time. He actually came to a game last year here. And my pro coach was Dick Vermeil. And we still have relationships. Dick calls me about every other week. I saw him at the Hall of Fame, obviously, and you know, people like that that influence your life. And I do believe if you're an athlete, whatever sport you play, man or woman, there are coaches in your life that, really give you a lot of insight on how to behave, doing the proper thing on purpose. When you're when moments are uncomfortable for you, how to handle those moments. You know, that's a part of coaching, and that's a part of maturity as you grow up and you go through the different levels of athletics, whether you start in high school, go to college, and fortunately for me, went to pro football. I had a lot of men in my life that gave me some good advice and good direction.
Herm Edwards, head coach at Arizona State, joins us this morning on the show. You took many years off from coaching to come back for this Arizona State job. Dick Vermeil, who you succeeded at Kansas City, also took many years off before he came back to coaching. He came back for the Rams after a broadcasting career. Did you reach out to him or at least think about him at all? Because, of course, you played under him when you took that time off to come back to coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can remember giving him a call when he was contemplating coming back. And I was one of the first guys that said, Coach, you need to go back. You're good for football. You know, obviously he called me as well. I said, I know, Coach.
Circle of life.
Yeah, it really is. And I've been very fortunate and blessed in my whole life. I mean, I tell people all the time, I've never had a job. I grew up a football player. Was fortunate enough to go to every level and play. Had some success along the way and got into the coaching ranks and worked my way from being a college secondary coach at San Jose State. And then from there, going to Kansas City with the first time I went there, when Marty was the head coach, and you know Cowher was on that staff, and Tony Dungy and Bruce Arians, we had a bunch of really good coaches. And then going with Tony to Tampa, and then going to New York, and then coming back to Kansas City, getting traded to come back, and then sat out for a while, and you know waited for the right situation. I had opportunities, numerous opportunities to come back at both levels, but it needed to be the right fit for me. And Ray, knowing Ray Anderson, who was my agent about 20 years ago, had the same vision, trying to build a program here at ASU. And it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. You know, and what got me going more than anything else was the Under Armour All-American game. I coached that for 8 years, the high school kids. A lot of great players, high school players. And a lot of them went on to pro football. And it's kind of unique, you know, on those Saturdays after the games, those players would come up to me and always remind me, say, Coach, you need to go back to college and coach college football. You'd be great. You'd be great for college football. So it's kind of interesting. It kind of worked out for me.
So when you say that you had a lot of other options, but you chose Arizona State, there's two reasons that I could imagine. Number one, that connection that you had with Ray, or number two, that the state of Arizona is in many ways a sleeping football giant. There's a lot of really good high school talent there, and neither Arizona State nor Arizona has ever been able to be able to have consistent high-end winning. And plus, Arizona State is in the middle of a major metropolis area, so it's not hard to recruit, too. Which part of that was the reason that this was the right fit?
Well, all of that had something to do with it, and the fact that I was recruited out of high school to come here. Coach Cush recruited me. And at that point, they weren't in the Pac-8, so I wanted to play in a Rose Bowl, so I ended up going to Cal. But it's just a circle. It's the circle's complete now for me. And, I want to build a program that, as you said, we can be a consistent winner. We're always challenging for the Pac-12 South. And we were one game short last year of being a part of that playoff system, you know, that we have in this conference. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, we played a lot of close games. Our kids are starting to learn how to play, but we're going to be very young. We have 36 players on our team right now that are freshmen or redshirt freshmen. But that's the program. That's what we're trying to build. We were fortunate enough to get three quarterbacks as freshmen to come in here, and one of them's going to start for us. The other kid's the backup guy. And Ethan Long is kind of a utility guy. He kind of does everything for us. So it's a lot of fun, we're going to play young guys, and we're going to win with them.
To take the years off you did from coaching and to go from an NFL head coach to a college football head coach, I'm sure there is something that surprised you or caught you off guard after year number one. What was that?
Well, I think, you know, the time constraints, obviously, a 20-hour rule, and that's 20 hours during the week when the season starts, and three of those go to the game, so it's 17 hours. You know, how you condense information to players is critical. And the length of games, you know, you watch it on television and you really don't, you kind of say, these games are long. You know, and then you find out there's 20 timeouts. You go, oh, boy, that's a lot of time. And there was a 20-minute halftime. I said, 20-minute halftime? I said, you could take a nap in 20 minutes. You know, NFL halftimes are 12 minutes. As soon as the clock, you know, as soon as the gun goes off, the clock is running, man. It's 12 minutes. It's 20 minutes. What do you do in 20 minutes? All right? But it's been a lot of fun. And obviously the clock, you know, the clock, it stops running, you know, and in pro football is running all the time. And so games are a little bit longer. You got 105 players in the NFL. You only dress, what, 46 guys. So there's a lot of moving parts here, you know, and it's, I said, you got how many players? You got 105. I said, well, only 45 guys are going to play, and you got 105. What do the rest of those guys do? Right. So it's kind of interesting that way. But you know what? I love being around these young people. They have a lot of energy, boy, and they got dreams and hopes, and it's fun to be with them and talk to them about, you know, just life and not just football, but just life. And I've been around a lot of great coaches, and if I can influence some of these young men when they leave our watch to become better men, then I've done a good job.
Before I let you go, when I got to know you in Kansas City, I always found you professional, diplomatic, and intense. When I listen to your interviews now and I see you on TV and talking to you today, I hear happiness and I hear gratitude. Do you feel that way now at this point in your life and your coaching career?
Absolutely, because of the game of football. You know, football has provided me a livelihood that I could have never imagined when I was 8 or 9 years old, thinking I wanted to play football. You know, I tell people I never had a job. I've always been in football. I'm a lifer, and I'm not afraid to say that. I mean, some guys say, well, I'm a lifer. I truly am a lifer, and I just think I'm indebted to the game. And I want to make the game better because I coached it. And I always felt that way when I played it. Make it better for the next generation to follow you. You know, because it's a great game. It tells you so many things about who you are and about life. You know, it's a wonderful game when you think about it this way. All different backgrounds and cultures and people walk into a locker room. Some of them have different opinions, but at the end, we respect each other. And there's this journey you take every year as a football team. And you need each other to win. You can't do it by yourself. And that's the greatness of football. You know, it doesn't see color, doesn't see religion, doesn't see political views. It doesn't matter. It's just like we come together and you go, okay, let's go.
Herm Edwards in Arizona State kicks off its season August the 29th, a Thursday night against Kent State. And then Sacramento State, and then a big one at Michigan State in East Lansing, which should be a really, really interesting matchup to watch on TV. That one's going to be on Fox. And Arizona State coming off finishing second in the Pac-12 South last year in a Las Vegas Bowl appearance with 7 wins. Herm Edwards in his second year head coaching at the Arizona State Sun Devils program. Coach, it's really nice that you decided to do this interview with us, and I thank you for the time very much. It's really good to be able to catch up and do this again after what we used to talk a lot regularly about 10 years ago or so in Kansas City. So thanks so much for doing it, man, and hopefully we can do this again. This made me really happy.
We will, my friend. You tell your dad I said hello, and he should be proud of you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that, Coach. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Herm Edwards joining us this morning on the show. Very poignant moment in DA show history right there. I would say that was 06 and 07, the 06 and 07 football seasons. And I'll give you the story, actually, behind why Herm Edwards threatened to kick my ass on the football field. I will give you the background on that. And I never disrespected Herm because of that or didn't have respect for him. I understood where he was coming from and why he said that. And I always really liked covering him, and I really liked talking to him on my show and at press conferences and interacting with him because there was a truth. And a lot of coaches say one thing, act one way, and don't actually believe that. And what you saw is what you got. It was true transparency from Herm. I always really appreciated that because that's a rare commodity. And I hope you enjoyed that interview. I really did. It was less about football, less about the X and O's of Arizona State, but more about where he is in his life and why he took this job, which I've always been really interested in, because he had a really good broadcast job and could have retired that, rode into the sunset for years. Probably had another 15 years of that if you wanted to, 20 years of it. Decided to come back and get to work again and coach full-time again and have a school's weight on his shoulders again. And I respect that because that's not necessarily an easy decision. That's a harder way out, but it's made him happy. And I like hearing that because I think he's a good man. So I'll talk about that story when we come back. And also, Vegas has odds out of who is going to be the first NFL coach can. I'm going to get to that this hour as well. And Heller is fuming. He can't believe Mraz called him out like that in the last segment. Absolutely fuming. I've never seen Heller mad. Suddenly, Heller is mad. That's what Mraz's impact is on an organization. He tears it from within. So I'm sure Heller will want to respond to Mraz calling him what all of the names that he called him. Coming up here next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
I want 3 parts chicken, 2 parts pineapple, just like you would your normal shish kebab. Cook them on low.
Really enjoy saying shish kebab.
It's a shish kebab, I mean.
Shish kebab.
Yeah, that's it.
Shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
But if we want to go shish kebab, it's a shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
An hour toll-free live brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more. On car insurance, tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to us there. So the story behind Herm Edwards is this. I was hosting the morning show in Kansas City, and it was toward the tail end of the Chiefs' years with the Tony Gonzalez, Trent Green, Priest Holmes, Will Shields, Willie Rofe. Really good teams that unfortunately did not end up winning a playoff game. Their best team was 2003. They went 13-3, the 2 seed. They were home field advantage in the divisional round against Peyton Manning and the Colts, and the Colts came in there. They couldn't force a punt, and that's when they ended up losing. And they then ended up losing in Indy in 06, when the Colts ended up winning their Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. And that was Larry Johnson's big year, and they couldn't get Larry Johnson going offensively. And so by the end, by 07, it had finally begun to break apart. And the Dick Vermeil and Herm Edwards era was kind of coming to an end. And Carl Peterson, the general manager, was kind of cutting bait with a lot of the players. They had loaded up trying to bring some playoff success there and couldn't really do it. And finally, they stopped kind of deciding on that was the core of the team they wanted to keep bringing back. And so there were players of the team that had told me in confidence that there was a lot of anger at the front office for jerking people around, and that there were players that felt like Carl Peterson was saying one thing publicly, oh, we like these guys, we want to bring them back, we want to keep this thing going, because they were routinely a 9, 10, 11 win team, and behind closed doors, basically cutting bait with guys and saying, we're not bringing you back. And so there were players upset, and they told me this. And so I went on the air, and I said that this had come to a head because Trent Green was the next. And Trent Green was pretty beloved. I mean, for a guy that didn't win a playoff game in Kansas City, remember, they had never really had consistent quarterbacking in Kansas City since Joe Montana. That was only 2 years. I mean, it was Steve Bono and Elvis Gerbach and Warren Moon for a year and Dave Craig for a year and on it went. It was just, you know, not good. And Trent Green stepped in and played for, gosh, let's say it was 5 or 6 years at a pretty high level. And they were eventually going to cut bait with Trent Green. And I knew it. And they were saying they wanted to keep Trent Green, but they weren't going to, and I knew it. And so I said, this is indicative yet again of the front office lying through their teeth, that they have no intention of bringing back Trent Green. And Trent was starting to get kind of salty about it too, because he was starting to say, you know, I don't know what to think. And so I just said this. I said, they're lying. I know they're lying because they have no intention to keep in Trent Green and they're doing this to other guys. No, I did not mean it was Herm Edwards. I meant it was Carl Peterson, because I think Carl kind of routinely said one thing and did another. And I said this on the air. Well, the Chiefs at that time owned Kansas City because the Royals were a 100-loss outfit every single year. And so the Chiefs would monitor sports radio. And if you said something wrong or you said something against the quote-unquote kingdom of the Chiefs, you know, they would let you know. And they would call your boss, and they called my boss, and they would call my producer. They would call me. And, you know, it was child's play, amateur stuff that only happens in a market where there's only one team that dominates. You know, that's the problem, that you have a monopoly if you're a sports team and you're good in that market and nobody else is good. So I stuck to my guns. I said, I know what's happening. I've got the sources. I'm sticking to this. I know you have no intention of re-signing Trent Green, and you're saying another thing. Management told this to Herm and said, you know, DA is saying that we're liars and yada, yada, yada. And Herm didn't have the full scope of what I had said. He just heard from the very sensitive Chiefs front office that I had called them all liars. And so at practice one day, I went out to practice because, you know, I was a disciplined, responsible local sports talk host, and most guys don't do that, but I was going to go out to practice and watch and ask questions. And Herm, before practice, said to me, hey, DA, hey, I want to talk to you after practice. I want to see you after practice. And I said, ooh, all right, cool. And my chest puffed out, my shoulders got wide, and I said, man, Herm likes when he's listening on the show, man. This is cool. Herm's a fan of the show. So they wrap up practice, and in the middle of a scrum, I think this was OTAs or April minicamps, middle of a scrum, Herm says to the assembled media, TV cameras and journalists and newspaper writers, you got to remember, at OTAs, there's still like 25 media there in Kansas City because the Royals, it's April 15th, but the season's already over for the Royals. And Herm says, you know, I hear there's some misreporting going on out there, and some people call me liars, and I'm gonna speak to one person after the practice today to let them know exactly what's going on. And I was like, oh, that sounds like it's me. And my heart dropped. And after practice, Herm, he just curls that finger. Come over here. Come over here, young man. You know, remember, this is 13 years ago, 12 years ago, so I'm 28 years old. And middle of the practice field, he pulls me out to midfield of the 50. And he just starts cussing me out. You're calling us liars. I've never lied to any one of my players. If I was your age, I would kick your ass right now. And note that Herm could have kicked my ass at that point in time because he used to run the steps of Arrowhead Stadium every single morning. And while I might have been in my late 20s, Herm was definitely bigger and stronger than me and definitely more fit. And so I said, whoa, 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 Herm, I didn't call you a liar. Now, I didn't say that. I said that the front office was misleading Trent Green and misleading the public. And I said, I've got it from guys I spoke to X, Y, and Z, and I know that this is what's going on. I said, I never called you a liar. I said, did you hear the segment? And, of course, he's just yelling at me. He goes, no, I didn't hear the segment. I was told this. I said, well, listen, I will send you the segment in question. I will send it to you. He goes, I don't have time to listen to your show. I go, look, I wouldn't either if I was you. I said, I just want to let you know I did not call you a liar because I don't believe you're lying. I believe it's the front office that's selling something that you're caught in the between a rock and a hard place. So we eventually got to a conversation. We were talking about this, and we found common ground because he knew what I knew. I told him what I knew, and he knew that I had sources, and he knew I knew what was going on, and I knew that he wasn't the one that was lying. So that was the day that Herm Edwards threatened to kick my ass. If I was your age, I would kick your ass right now. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't have to be my age. You would kick my ass right now anyway. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So that's the story there. Now, on the NFL front, we have Vegas putting out odds of who's going to be the next head coach fired. And it seems a little premature to be already guessing who's going to be canned, but I want to get to this coming up here after the break. Also, Heller is furious at Mraz right now because Mraz called him under the carpet for not giving Amy more energy during the update in the morning. Brad, would you like to defend yourself on your birthday?
Well, I mean, you're doing this when I'm not even in the room, Mraz. I'm doing other updates on
another
station.
Say it to his face, Mraz. Say it to his face.
Brad, you need to give me more energy. I'm sorry. I think that was a very flat effort by you at 5:30 in the morning Eastern time. Bring it with more energy if a host talks to you.
My job on that show is the actual update. the banter in between is not part of the deal.
Okay.
And you don't know. He wasn't here yesterday and doesn't know what that exchange was like.
Well, that exchange we set up might have set up today's exchange. Was today a little bit icier because yesterday got a little confrontational?
Yeah. I mean, I've actually made the effort to bring a little more energy into the room at 5 a.m. Eastern time in the morning, my first update of the day. And I've made the effort to bring a little more energy. And yesterday, there was a confrontation out of nowhere. So today, whether it's my birthday or not, I'm coming in like, well, I'm not here to start anything. I'm here to do my update, and I'm getting out of here.
Now, I did ask Herm Edwards about this.
Now, wait a minute.
And I said, Herm, should Brad Heller have brought a little bit more energy to the banter today with Amy?
Well, I just think it doesn't cost a lot to be nice, does it? And I think if you do that, you open the doors of conversation. And I learned that from my parents.
Oh, Herm.
Herm, Brad. Just be nice.
Herm doesn't know the background. The niceness goes two-way. It's a two-way street, man.
I actually got to side with Herm, actually.
Come on, Pete.
See, Brad, you see that with the come on? Now you have energy. Where was that at 5:30 in the morning? Kid in the car for the first time listening to Brad Heller thinks he stinks when you're that flat. Let's go.
I don't believe this. I don't believe this, that everyone's attacking me on my birthday.
When we come back, who's the first NFL head coach fired? Vegas has its answer. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
You're going to get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not going to get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. 40 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us. And getting a lot of feedback on my Instagram picture from yesterday that I posted after 10 years since 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston launched, and I was part of that launch 10 years ago. In fact, 10 years last night, I was the first talk show on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston after Patriots and Eagles preseason game. That was actually Tom Brady's first game back after the ACL tear, losing all of 08 to the ACL. Sammy Morris led the Patriots in rushing that day. A.J. Feely led all passers with 211 yards. I had to go back and check the box score on this. But I'm very proud of my former colleagues and my friends there and the radio station. 10 years of incredible success. It was a gift to be part of that. I appreciate the CBS Sports management here, Mark Chernoff, Eric Spitz. They asked me if I would be willing to do nights in Boston despite being a native New Yorker. And I said, yeah, I'm into it. If you guys believe in me, I'm into it. And they did. And the rest is history. And I'm really proud of what we built at that radio station. That led me here to CBS Sports Radio doing overnights. This show was on in Boston, the 98.5 The Sports Hub, when we were doing overnights for 2 years. And so they hit 10 years. So I posted a picture of one of my first photo shoots there. I was doing a Monday night football show at the Scoreboard in Woburn, Mass. Every Monday night. And they had me do a picture shoot, a photo shoot, with two waitresses from the Scoreboard. And I'm telling you, Mraz, if you saw this photo, I wish I could say this photo was from 1993, but it's from 2009.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not my best look.
What is going on? You still look like the kid in Warwick, New York, with the big oversized shirt. The hair's a disaster.
Well, I don't think the hair's a disaster, but remember that I was growing my hair much longer because I had just moved from Miami. So in Miami...
What does that mean? You have surfer hair or something?
It was a little beachy. It was a beachy, South Beach-kissed hair. And so I'm wearing a button-down shirt. Big, chunky, white T-shirt under said button-down shirt. Tucked into jeans with a belt. Sneakers. Pumas, white Pumas with the jeans. And a suit jacket. And I'm leaning up against
the two servers from the scoreboard in Woburn. And look, I posted this as a salute to 10 years. It was a truly a 90s Seinfeld look. Unfortunately, it was about 15 years too late.
Yeah, way too late. If I showed up with that look with the white Pumas and the jacket and the shirt like that, you'd tell me to go home. And I've dressed atrociously before, and there you are celebrating it 10 years ago.
So if you want to check that out, you can follow me on Instagram. Actually, today I'm going to post a lot of pictures that I found. I dug up from the archives of my 10 years in Boston. There's some really good ones, really, really good ones, with some former women of the DA show, some mascots we had on the show, some overnight shows with the Stanley Cup that came through Boston in 2011 when the Bruins won it. Some really good stuff. So I'm going to post that on Instagram stories. So just can follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo for behind the scenes of the DA show and a pictorial of my years in Boston. All right, time now for your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. John in Indiana says, DA, what do you think about this Andrew Luck situation? Is it time for us Colts fans to start worrying? Yeah, John, unfortunately, the answer is yes. The answer is a hard yes because of what happened a couple of years ago with Andrew Luck and the shoulder and the misinformation that either he got, we got, everyone got. They thought it was one thing. It ended up being another thing. It lasted forever. He missed basically nearly all of two seasons. He had a crisis of confidence. He wasn't willing to come back. And now you can't tell me that Andrew Luck can't be questioning his own medical staff because apparently this began as a calf strain in April and then somehow evolved into a high ankle sprain that might have something to do with the bone. That's way different than a calf strain. But now we're talking about bones and high ankle sprains, and anybody will tell you high ankle sprains are the worst because they don't heal regularly. They don't heal quickly. I know that the Colts are trying to be safe rather than sorry. I know that Andrew Luck would rather miss all of the preseason and training camp than miss any part of the regular season. But if you're asking me midway through August if I'm confident Andrew Luck is going to be healthy for 16 games this year, the answer is no. And the answer is that Luck can't help but think back to what happened a couple of years ago and has to be a little worried because it got to him mentally 2 years ago. And while it's a different part of the body, there feels to be a lot of similarities. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Okay, so if you had to guess who is the least likely NFL coach to get fired this year, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds. Least likely. There's only one name, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, yeah.
Belichick will never get fired. Right now it's 200-1 that he gets fired. So you bet $1, you make $200. That's the worst bet in America. He'll never get fired. He might retire after the season. I doubt it. He'll never get fired in New England. So you're flushing money down the drain. Number two, least likely, according to Vegas, Sean McVay. Not surprising, 150-1.
Each Super Bowl coach.
Two Super Bowl coaches, and unless either one of them got caught in a major scandal that it had to do with some type of crazy abuse of some sort, I mean, there's just no way either one of those guys gets fired. Doug Peterson and Andy Reid, also the least likely to get fired at 150-1. Then Sean Payton and Matt Nagy and Frank Reich at 80-1. Now, I think Frank Reich is, I think that's way more security than I would give Frank Reich. If Frank Reich this year begins the season 2-10 and Andrew Luck hates his guts, I mean, I could see Frank Reich getting the zig.
Still made the playoffs in year number one.
I agree, but I'm saying I don't believe he's not as secure as Sean Payton. I'll put it that way. Those should not be the same odds.
Fair.
After that, Zach Taylor, John Gruden, Bruce Arians. I mean, you're telling me Zach Taylor couldn't get fired in year number one? I know that the Bengals want to not pay anybody.
But they just hung on to Marvin Lewis, who should have been fired 5 years ago. I think there's something to be said for their longevity.
Okay, again, Zach Taylor and John Gruden should have the same odds. John Gruden can't be fired. He's got a 10-year contract at $10 million per. He simply cannot be fired. Then you have John Harbaugh, Pete Carroll. Those guys, I think, should have way more security than 50-1. Then you're at Vic Fangio at 40-1. Kyle Shanahan, Anthony Lynn, Mike Zimmer, Mike Tomlin all at 33-1. Then Mike Vrabel at 25-1. I think that's way too much security for Mike Vrabel. I know they like him, but I think that's high. Matt LaFleur, 25-1. Cliff Kingsbury, 25-1. Freddie Kitchens, 25-1. I think Cliff Kingsbury should be nowhere near these guys like a Mike Tomlin, because I could see Cliff Kingsbury going 1-12 this year and Kyler Murray not looking like he's the right fit and them firing Cliff Kingsbury because they can't fire Kyler Murray.
They could go 0-16 this year. I think Kingsbury keeps his job because you don't trade Josh Rosen and take Kyler Murray for Cliff Kingsbury and fire him.
You could bring in somebody else, though, for Kyler Murray. Then Freddie Kitchens, 25-1. Adam Gase, 25-1. Brian Flores, 25-1. Sean McDermott, 20-1. I mean, okay. Matt Patricia, 20-1. And now we're getting to the guys that are pretty likely to be fired. Ron Rivera, Jason Garrett, 15-1. Dan Quinn and Bill O'Brien, 12-1.
Love both of those. Because both have potential playoff teams that haven't given you enough, and if either fail, I could totally see them getting out.
If Dan Quinn goes 8-8 this year or worse, he's getting the zig.
If they're 3-11 or something to start the year before even the end, he could get fired before the end of the season.
Then Doug Marrone, 10-1 in Jacksonville.
Sneaky good one.
Sneaky good pick. Now, this is the first one to lose his job. Okay, the first head coach, not just if they get fired, the first one to get fired. Pat Shurmur, New York Giants, 5-1. Jay Gruden, Washington, 3-1.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Is Jay Gruden the most likely to get fired?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't. I think it's probably a Dan Quinn or a Freddie Kitchens or a Mike Vrabel. And the only reason I say
Kitchens, that... Kitchens, year number one.
Well, because Cleveland has a track record of dumping coaches too early. High expectations.
Huge expectations.
Major letdown. They're not going to put it on Baker Mayfield's shoulders or John Dorsey's shoulders or Odell Beckham's shoulders. It'll fall on Freddie Kitchens' shoulders. He wasn't ready.
Right.
Mike Vrabel, potential for disaster as Mariota falls apart.
Okay.
And I do think there's something to the Dan Quinn with Atlanta having another big
or
team.
Marrone. If the Jaguars are dysfunctional again, even with Foles...
And here, just real quickly, same theory on Cliff Kingsbury. You just allowed Gruden and Shurmur, in theory, to draft rookie quarterbacks in the first round. Don't you have to give them a second year beyond this year with those guys?
Time for your epic fail of the morning. Brad Heller, not a lot of energy when Amy asked him questions earlier this morning on the After Hours show. And Mraz went in on Heller.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Is it your birthday?
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Why are you not more excited about it?
I'm very excited.
He sounds excited, doesn't he?
As the day goes along, I'll get more excited.
Oh, it's just us that you're not excited for.
Correct.
I get on Brad's case a lot. Like, Brad, how come I get grumpy, grouchy, no smile Brad in the morning, and everyone else gets, like, the happy, personable Brad?
It doesn't cost a lot to be nice, does it?
His answer is always, I didn't drink coffee yet.
It is 5:30 in the morning local time, so I'm still waking up. But.
Can you be a pro, Brad? Be a pro. Turn on that mic and show a little. It is my birthday. Yeah, can't wait. Can have some cake later.
Well, why do you think Brad was so downtrodden and so low energy there?
I think two things. He's a little scared of Amy, I think, based on the previous day. And I think it just, you know... It's not the first day you woke up early, Brad. I mean, geez, Luis. You're on the air every... You're on the air. Turn on the microphone and have a little pep in your step.
I'm very excited.
Straight. If that's Jay Berman, because we've seen Jay Berman with that energy, destroyed. Brad Heller gives that kind of energy, we laugh. How great job by Brad. You know what? That's a terrible job by Brad.
Well said.
I didn't drink coffee yet.
It is 5:30 in the morning local time, so I'm still waking up, but...
Well, I don't think it's a great job by Brad. No,
I think that's a stinky job. I think it's a stinky representative of who Brad is on the air. He's better than that.
Well, I don't drive.
I'm saddened by that, really. He needs to be better than that.
Is it possible he just does not want to be asked about his birthday on the air?
No,
and
no.
So he's trying to just play it down?
No, because if he got asked by you about the birthday, we're getting spunky Brad. He's beep-bopping and booping all over the place.
Beep-bopping and booping.
Can't wait to go to the beach, DA. It'd be great. Having my cupcakes later. He's like,
going away for a few days.
Yeah, it's my birthday, and yeah, maybe I'll smile at the beach. Come on.
So he's just scared.
He's scared. He's a wuss.
I'll be smiling at the beach.
Brad Heller is a wuss.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
There is always internal discord here within the DA show walls, and it continues as Brad Heller's back in tomorrow for headlines, and I'm sure him versus Mraz will spill into the streets and into the show tomorrow. At least he's going to the beach today.
Yeah, going to the beach.
Be bopping and booping. Be bopping, booping. Right over to the beach. Bop, bop, beep, bop, 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 bop. Okay. He's scatting all the way to the beach. Beepity, beep, bop, beep, bop, 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 beepity, beep. Bop, 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 bop. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Bounty Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the wizard at WatchDA.com. Thanks to Brad Heller, beep bopping and scooting through his birthday on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. The mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.